I'm Sunny Kane, and you're listening to the next faith-filled step right here on Pilgrim Radio. Each week, we'll explore simple, practical ways to respond to God's Word in our everyday lives. Let's choose wisdom over willpower, purpose over pressure, and take the next faith-filled step together. One day, one moment, one decision at a time. Well, hey, friend, I want to welcome you back for another week here on the next faith-filled step. You know, this is a place where we talk about what it looks like to keep moving forward as pilgrims on a journey, even when life gets a little bit messy or hard or where the journey is so unclear. And, you know, I think along the way, a lot of us have seasons where we look up and realize that we're not as connected to God as we once were. And it's not because we stopped loving God. It's not because we stopped believing. But sometimes it's simply because life got really hard or busy or heavy. And before we knew it, the days turned into weeks and the weeks into months, and we don't quite know how to find our way back. Have you ever been there before? I mean, maybe you've wanted to spend time with God, but you don't know where to start anymore. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're carrying things that have made it hard to even know what to say. And yet, so often the things that we need the most are the things that we overlook. I mean, follow me for a second. Isn't it crazy how we need water, and yet we forget to drink it? You know, we need rest, but we keep pushing through. And honestly, we need time with God just as desperately, but we keep telling ourselves we'll get to it later. Well, my guest today, her name is Tara Beth Leach. She found herself in a season just like that, and out of it came a fresh invitation from God, not to strive harder, but to meet with Him again. And in her book, The Great Morning Revolution, she talks about what it looks like to begin creating space for God in the quiet of the morning, and how those small beginnings can change far more than we realize. And my hope today is that this conversation would feel like an invitation, and that no matter how far away God may feel, or no matter how long it's been, that you would be reminded that today you can begin again. Here's my conversation with Tara Beth Leach. Well, Tara Beth, I want to welcome you to the next faith-filled step. I'm so glad to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as we jump in today, I always love asking this question as we're getting started. You know, there is this difference between knowing about God and knowing Him personally. And so I would love to hear what name of God or what aspect of who He is resonates most deeply with you.
You know, it changes every season as I think about different seasons that I'm in. And right now, I'm a caretaker for my mother who is on hospice. And so right now, God is my sustainer.
That is so powerful, you know, in a season where you are no doubt carrying so much, to know God, not just as someone who is present with you, but as your sustainer, the one who keeps holding you up through it all, is such a gift. You know, God just meets us so personally in different seasons. So when you think back over other seasons of your life, what other names or aspects of who God is come to mind?
Yeah, Redeemer. I think about so much pain and loss and trauma from my past, and how God doesn't waste a single ounce or a single moment of my suffering or loss or pain or even brokenness.
Yeah,
God meets me where I am and redeems over and over again.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I love hearing the ways that God has met you in each season. Now, before we dive into your book, The Great Morning Revolution, for those who may not be familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, you bet. So I live in the western suburbs of Chicago, actually originally from Chicagoland, even though I've lived in California and I've lived in New York. Chicago is home, or maybe I should say it a little more nasally, Chicago is home. Home of the Chicago Dogs and Chicago Pizza. And I have two boys, Caleb and Noah. They're 14 and 16 years old. I've been married to the absolute love of my life, Jeff, for 20 years, and I have the privilege of just exercising the ministry gifts that God is giving me through writing and through speaking.
Well, and that's what we're here to talk about today is the book that you wrote, The Great Morning Revolution. And it's such a great book. I'd encourage our listeners to pick it up. But as we're getting started, you know, when the book opens, you set the stage with the story of a season that you refer to as a cruel wilderness. And you say every morning was great until it wasn't. Can you share with us about this wilderness?
Yeah. In 2020, I mentioned that I've lived in California. Well, we were living in California and life was good. There was sunshine. It was paradise. There was no snow or no polar vortex, no shoveling driveways, all the things that we left behind us in Chicago. And my parents were nearing towards retirement. We're talking about moving up to California. And in February 2020, we learned that my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. And then my mom was diagnosed with frontal temporal dementia, which then led us into a season of caretaking. Mm-hmm. And we eventually made the difficult decision to move back here to Chicagoland so I could care for my folks. And I had a year with my dad before he passed. And then we moved my mom in, which she now still lives with us. She is on hospice. And not long after my dad died, I really experienced an adrenaline crash from caretaking, trying to figure out what is God calling me to. And I started waking up most mornings feeling totally and completely despondent, lost, purposeless, sad. It felt like a just total wilderness of the soul, of even my body. My body was feeling the effects of it. And I was stuck emotionally, spiritually, physically even. And, you know, in the mornings I would just, you know, reach for my phone and I would get into the doom scroll. Mm-hmm. And eventually all the grief and the loss would settle in. And, but I would try to numb it by a little bit more doom scrolling and some more reels. And, oh, maybe if I check the news, it'll numb the pain and I'll just lay here in bed until I absolutely have to get up. And then I'll just haphazardly get on about my day. That was what my mornings looked like. And one day in the cold of January, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me clear as day, Terabeth, it's time to rise. It's time to wake up. And I knew that the awakening that God was calling me to was not just a spiritual one, but that God was actually asking me to do my mornings differently, to rise with purpose and with intention. And so I, the next morning, set my alarm for 4:30 a.m., and I started waking up every single morning at 4:30 a.m. during that season. Now, spoiler alert, I don't wake up at 4:30 anymore these days. I do wake up with purpose and with intention. I do set time aside for God, but it needed to be something drastic because of the season that I was in. And it was the only time that I had as well to fit everything. And I wanted to fit in a workout as well, my time with God before I get my boys up and get them off for school. And so I started my mornings with scripture reading and prayer and reflection. And then I'd go to the gym and then I'd come back and I'd worship and I'd listen to books on audio. And it was just the jolt that I needed in my journey. And I would say to my husband, oh man, I've had the best morning. It has been a great morning. And he'd say, why? I'd say, because I began my day with God. And it wasn't that my day after that was great or perfect. It was great in the sense that I was walking with God and that I was experiencing the blessings of God. But, you know, the circumstances were still the same. My dad was still dead. My mom was still declining with this horrible, cruel disease. But now I understood what it meant to be in the community of the Beatitudes, that blessed are those who mourn. And I was able to say I was blessed because I was comforted by the one who sustains me. I was comforted by the living Lord every single morning. And eventually I wanted more of a routine and more of a plan. I didn't want to be like I was, you know, going to the gym every morning, you know, and one day I decide I'm going to do the legs, the next day I'm going to do barbells. I wanted a plan. And GREAT actually eventually became an acronym, which stood for gratitude, reflection, exaltation, asking, and trusting. And that is now how I begin every morning.
It's interesting because you're talking about just the wilderness season, the very real emotions that while circumstances may be very different, I think that we all walk through those wilderness seasons sometimes. Mm-hmm. And from the shift from I'm in this wilderness and this is what it feels like, this is what I'm experiencing, to all of a sudden God calling you to rise, I imagine these hard feelings weren't gone. How did you get yourself to rise with intention? I imagine it couldn't have just been a feeling. I mean, right. What led you to do that? How did you tap into it? Because I think some of our listeners could be there right now.
Yeah, it really came with just a decision that this is what I'm going to do. And I set my mind to it and I decided this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, and the nice thing about in the morning is you don't have time really to talk yourself out of it. You know, you just, if you set that alarm across the room where you have to get up and you made the decision the night before that this is what you are going to do, it can, you know, completely change everything if you just make that decision.
Now, for listeners who might be in a season where their life feels heavy, maybe they're in a wilderness, maybe they're caring for someone or just carrying a lot, how would you guide them to lean into that kind of decision, even when it feels impossible to move past their current emotions?
You know, I would say start small. It doesn't have to be, you know, 4:30 a.m. It can be 5 minutes before you normally wake up. It could be 3 minutes. Or maybe, you know, maybe you're retired and it doesn't really matter what time it is that you wake up. Maybe just change what you do when you wake up. Instead of grabbing that phone, do something else. Begin with God. Grab your journal, grab your Bible, turn on some worship music, and begin there. Yeah. Start small.
I love that you brought up that even if you're retired. I was talking to a woman who is in retirement, and she said, I've been following Jesus for so many years, and I know the basics. I know how to read my Bible. I've been praying for years. But something in those retirement years, she began to go into a state of longing, and she couldn't figure out what was missing again. And, you know, so I think you're onto something there. This is a principle that is for a lifetime. And with that, I would say, you know, oftentimes we overlook the most basic things in our faith, and we can dismiss messages like starting a new morning routine because we feel like I've been doing this for so long. What is the value in maybe shaking that routine up and starting something new like the Great Morning Revolution?
Well, you know, again, so many of us, these phones, these devices have really dictated so much of our lives. And it's incredible how when we reach for these devices, we might wake up to a text of someone angry at us. We might wake up to a news headlines that might feel like the world is coming undone. We might start scrolling Facebook, getting into a comment section of someone saying really toxic things or political argument. And we have to be honest with ourselves that that impacts us and that shapes us. We are consumers, and we have to be honest with ourselves and realize that we become what we consume. And the morning hour is a very special time in that our minds are a blank canvas. His mercies are truly new every morning. And so our minds are a blank canvas, yet unbothered by the stresses or the anxieties or the headlines of the day. We are fresh. And why are we giving our first fruits and that freshness to the world? Why wouldn't we give it to God? Because when we do, then there's an alignment that happens. You know, some people, they go to the chiropractor because they want to be adjusted and they want to be aligned so that they can function well. Well, beginning the day with God is kind of like that spiritual alignment that happens. Yes, the headlines are still going to be troubling. Yes, we're still going to read things online. Yes, we're still going to get the angry text messages. Yes, our circumstances are still going to be difficult. But when we navigate those things, when we are aligned with God, then we are able to navigate them with a special kind of resilience. We're able to navigate them with the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mm-hmm. gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. because the fruits of the Spirit in our lives don't just happen when we will them, mm-hmm. but the fruits of the Spirit are a fruit of who? The Spirit of the living God. And so when we begin communing with God, we are aligned so that we can navigate the circumstances of the day in God's world in God's way.
What do you think prevents us? Like, if maybe you've been following Christ for a long time and you know the value of getting in His presence, what keeps us from doing it?
I think that the stories that we tell ourselves, like, oh, I'm not a morning person, or, oh, I prefer to sleep in, or, oh, I'll just, you know, do it another time, or, oh, it's just, I need my coffee first, so I'd rather just doom scroll for as long as I can until I do that. And it's the stories that we tell ourselves, but not only that, like, America is addicted to their devices. Mm-hmm. It is a drug. And we just, without even thinking about it, the first thing we do is we reach for those devices. So I think it's a mixture of both of those things.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about we become what we consume. I'd love to hear, as you dove in to this, you know, you called it an experiment when you started this mm-hmm. Great Morning Revolution. Yeah. When you dove into this experiment and you began consuming more of God, how did that shape who you became or who you were becoming?
You know, it was an incredible transformative experience because, again, I go back to the fruits of the Spirit. You know, before this, I was waking up most mornings despondent. When I began, God started to produce the spirit of joy in me, the fruit of the Spirit, joy. God began to produce the fruit of the Spirit, peace. Instead of my mornings being anxious and so hurried and stressed out, I was able to go about the day more peaceful because I was aligned with God, and I was aligned even with myself because I was grounded in the presence of God. I started to go about my day even more loving and patient with my family. Why? Because of the fruit of the Spirit had been dropped in me, and I was aligned with God, and so it was a transforming from the inside out.
Now, let's get into talking about the Great Morning Revolution. What does great stand for, and how does that, you know, help our listeners catch a little bit of what this morning could look like for them?
So the first letter in that acronym is G, which stands for gratitude. And, you know, gratitude in the morning can be as simple as writing it down in a journal, keeping a gratitude journal, or even, you know, praying that out loud or saying it out loud. I right now do the morning routine with my husband. And so, you know, we'll hold hands and we'll talk about what we're grateful for. And, you know, oftentimes it's the same thing. I'm grateful for my boys. I'm grateful for this home. I'm grateful for my family. And then from there, we move on to reflection. And reflection, we do this by reading scripture first, a section of scripture. And, you know, you can follow whatever reading plan you like for that. Maybe it's a psalm. Maybe it's, you know, a chapter in a gospel. Maybe, you know, but don't, you know, don't start too big. Start small. I like reading the Bible in bite sizes because it's when we read it in bite sizes that we're really able to allow the Word of God to sink into our heart. And then reflect is not just reflecting on Scripture, but allowing the Word of God then to reflect back on our lives. How in what ways am I falling short of what God is calling me into this, and how is God convicting me, and why is this uncomfortable, and what is the Spirit of God saying to me in this time? And it's allowing the Holy Spirit to examine our heart, to search me, oh God. And then from there is exaltation. And one of our favorite ways to do exaltation is by reciting Psalm 145, an incredible psalm of praise. And there's something so rich and wonderful about returning to these ancient psalms of praise that, you know, the early church and the people of God before that have been singing and reciting for generations and generations. And then from there, it goes on to asking, and that's where we bring our prayers and petitions before God. And my husband and I will usually go back and forth saying our prayers out loud. And then that last one is so important, T for trust. Trust is we've brought a request before God, we're about to navigate our day, and we're giving it to God. God, I surrender all of this to you. It's that nevertheless moment, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and we see Jesus practice exactly that at the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there in the garden, and he says, Abba, if possible, let this cup from me pass. And one of the things that is just so beautiful is, you know, it's so tender, it's so intimate. He's made this prayer before God. Abba, let this cup from me pass. And then he relents and he says, nevertheless. The Greek word for that is Allah, nevertheless. It's this letting go. Not my will, but your will be done.
That's beautiful. So much of what I hear, you know, I was thinking just even in my own wilderness seasons that I've walked through, sometimes you don't know what to pray. And having these prayers that you're talking about, you can just read a psalm, you can read something, and that can give voice to the prayers in your heart when you do not have words.
Right. Exactly. Because you may not be feeling it that morning.
Right.
Let the psalms do that for you.
Yeah. And what a gift God even gave us prayers. Yes. I mean, really. Yes. Now, and I loved hearing that you and your husband do this together. How has that, you know, what has been the impact on your marriage doing that together?
It has brought such a closeness to us. Just praying and saying the things that we're grateful for and reflection is a very vulnerable thing to do. And it forges the gift of trust in a marriage that you're able to trust your loved one with a very tender thing. But not only that, then in the moments when my husband will lay his hand on me and he'll pray for me, and he prays for my day, and then I'm able to do the same for him. We are spiritually supporting one another. And so it is forged the gift of trust in our marriage.
Now, for somebody who's listening right now, what might be an indicator that it is time for them to maybe shake up their morning routine or start a morning routine with God?
Well, reflect back on your life with God. Do you talk to God much? Do you connect with God? Or do you feel stuck? Do you feel like you're kind of in one of those just haphazard places where your mornings are chaotic and you are reaching for your phone first thing? Maybe it's time to think about your morning different. Again, you know, as Christians, we talk a lot about giving God our tithes and offerings, and we call our first fruits, right? Which is such an important Christian practice. We need to talk more about giving our first fruits to God in the morning. Right?
Yeah.
Our bodies, giving God our first fruits in the morning. And so I would just say, you know, even if you have a routine, before you do anything else, begin with God.
I love that. And again, it's a simple thing, but we drift out of it, in and out of it. And clearly in your life, this has been something that requires discipline. Right? It requires that decision that you started with. So how has that been sticking to it in through the seasons of life? I mean, you clearly have a lot of life still going on. You said you are still caretaking your mother, as well as you've got kids. You're a leader. So how are you sticking to this discipline?
It's not perfect. And that's okay, because that's not the point. This is not a legalistic routine. There are mornings where, you know, we sleep in and we take it slow, and you know what? There's grace.
Yeah.
There's grace. There's mornings where I need to do it on the go. Maybe I have an extra early morning for something that I need to get to. You know, for example, let's just say I have a 5 a.m. flight. I might be talking to God while I'm getting ready, while, you know, I'm in the shower. I think about people who have littles, for example. This can look different too. It can happen, you know, when that baby monitor goes off and you're pulled out of bed and it's 4 a.m. You know, for you, it might happen while you're nursing or while you're driving them to school and you're singing songs of praise. What I want to say to anyone is, you know, it's never perfect for me, and it doesn't have to be perfect, because that's not the point. God is a gracious and flexible God, and so we can be gracious and flexible with ourselves.
Yeah, I'm glad you spoke to that, because I think that sometimes maybe we don't approach God again because we feel a level of shame because it's been a while since we talked to Him. Right. So that grace is so important. And I think that even in the idea of legalism, it makes me think of, you know, sometimes when we create these spiritual routines in our lives,
yeah,
it's really easy for that to become a box-checking thing, and our hearts get kind of disconnected from them. So how have you prevented that from being just a checklist and kept it about that connection with God? Would you guide us in any way?
Yeah. I think we've got to learn how to be more gracious to ourselves. And so, you know, if you wake up one morning and you don't do it, it's not the end of the world, right? It's, so what? Start again tomorrow. And I've had to have that kind of same just relaxed attitude about it. You know, one of the reasons why we get into legalism is because we think that if we don't do it, God won't love us. And so then we also we also become unloving and unkind to ourselves. And we've got to remember that this is not about earning favor or love from God, but instead it's a blessing. And so be easy and be kind to yourself.
For someone who has the wrong face on God there, and they have, you just said something to them that's like, man, I've always viewed God like that. And what would you speak to their heart today?
Oh, we see the epitome of the love of God displayed on the cross in the face of Jesus. And, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about that in Philippians 2, that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he took on the nature of a servant. We see that embodied in the way of Jesus when he's washing the disciples' feet. We see that embodied in the way of Jesus when Peter, after denying him 3 times, Jesus reestablishes him and gives him a call and gives him a purpose. We see this love of God embodied all over the Gospels in the ways that Jesus extends grace and mercy to the sinner and to the saint alike. Look at the picture of Jesus.
So as we get ready to just land the plane here, I'm curious, when it comes to the heartbeat of your book, what is your biggest prayer for people who will pick that up and begin practicing the Great Morning Revolution?
Mm-hmm. My biggest hope and prayer is they learn about the unforced rhythms of God's grace, that this doesn't have to be something that is forced. But instead, it is a rhythm of grace that is there waiting for us, and that they would dive deep into the heart of God, and that in doing that, it would transform them from the inside out.
Well, Tara Beth, thank you so much for your time today. I pray that God would just continue to bless the ministry of this book. I mean, you can't go wrong when you're trying to get people in God's word. That is the best place for us to be. So thank you again. And I look forward to keeping up with you, your ministry, your social media. I would encourage people to follow you there. And if people want to know more about you, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, you know, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and even a quick Google, there's easy ways to find me.
Okay, awesome. Well, with that, I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for being with us on the next Faith-Filled Step.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for listening to the next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. This week, look for one way to respond to what God is revealing in your life. One day, one moment, one decision at a time.